James did a great job introducing this topic to us tonight. We've been doing a series on discipleship, and today we're going to specifically talk about modeling our lives as a disciple. So the working definition of disciple that we've been using that Drew told us several weeks back is disciples are both learners and followers. They learn from the master in order to teach others, and they follow the master in order to imitate his manner of life. And so you can see as a disciple is imitating Christ and learning from Christ, it makes sense that Paul would say something like, follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm following him, then I'm going to want to pull you along with me to follow after him. And modeling our lives after other people is not too uncommon to us in our American culture. It's not always a good thing. So there, particularly among the youth in our culture, and I'd even include my age in the youth, right? My age and lower. So the youth in our culture will often try to model their lives after celebrities, from the way they talk to the way they dress to the way they to their attitudes and things like that. Or young athletes will try to model their game after a professional athlete. Modeling our lives after someone else is not too uncommon, and it's not always a good thing. However, God tells us that we should model our lives after other people who are following Christ. The passage that we're going to look at in 2 Timothy 3 tonight kind of fleshes out what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11. So in 1 Corinthians 11, which James mentioned earlier, Paul says, follow or imitate me as I imitate Christ. And we might ask the question, well, how and in what ways? In what ways should I be imitating someone else as they follow Christ? What should I be looking for? And then on the other hand, what are the things that I should be growing in my life and be encouraging people to come alongside of me for those who I'm trying to disciple, maybe my children or maybe a friend or maybe a new believer? In what way should I be encouraging them and saying, follow me in this area as I follow Christ? And that's what 2 Timothy 3 is going to help us with. So let's jump right in and let's read this passage together. 2 Timothy 3, we'll read verses 10 to 17. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Oops, went back too far. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So in these verses, what we see are several ways that Paul is modeling the life of a faithful believer to Timothy, and he's commenting on several ways that Timothy has followed his life. Basically, he's saying, Timothy, you followed me as I've followed Christ. So what are these ways that Timothy has followed Paul? And in looking at these, I believe we're going to see areas in which we should lead others to follow Jesus, and also areas in which we should be looking to others to follow them as they follow Jesus. And the first way we see here that we should model what it means to follow Jesus is we should be saying things like this to those that we're discipling. Follow my doctrine as I follow Christ. He simply says right here, you have followed my teaching. Timothy has followed Paul's teaching as Paul has followed Christ. Passing on what we believe to those that we're investing in and those that we're discipling is so important. Last week, actually, Pastor Conley addressed this very topic with his whole sermon in the evening. And from Deuteronomy, which he talked about from last week, all the way to Timothy, God has communicated his desire for his people to pass on his words. Pass on the teaching. Let others follow what you believe as you follow Christ. And I think it makes sense that Paul lists this first, because really, if we think about it, everything that we do with our lives flows from what we believe. We always do what we do because we believe what we believe. Let me just make two quick points of application from this text about this first area of teaching, follow my doctrine as I follow Christ. First, let me talk specifically to parents if you have children in your home. If you have children in your home, then passing on the teaching to them is primarily your job. It's not something that you hire out to pastors or ministry leaders or Sunday school teachers or a youth pastor. It's not something you depend on someone else to do for you. It is your job, parents. Let that sink in. God wants your children to follow your teaching. Now, where am I getting that? Well, look at what Paul says in verses 14 to 15. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Now my question is this, who did Timothy learn the scriptures from as a child? He says, knowing from whom you learned it and that you learned it as a child. Who did he learn it from as a child? Well, we actually find the answer to this question earlier in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul says this, "Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first or that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." So Timothy learned the faith as a child from his grandmother. She passed it on to his mother, and they passed it on to him. Parents, please, please do not think that it is enough for you to bring your children to this local church, for them to sit under teaching here and hear God's word, but then fail to talk about it on Monday through Saturday. Don't think that you can bring your kids here and let them sit and listen and fail to talk about it the rest of the week and it have impact on them. If that's the way that you live, then your children will likely grow up thinking that following God is, or that going to a service on Sunday is something that makes us feel better, but then we talk about and do what we really care about the rest of the week. Parents, you should be saying to your children, follow my teaching as I follow Christ. And secondly, and now I'm talking to everyone, not just parents, in order to follow someone's teaching, you would have to have conversations with them, right? If you're going to pass on your teaching to someone else, that has to come through conversing with them. And if you're going to have conversations with them, then that means you have to spend time with them, which means that you would have to prioritize time in your schedule to spend with them, which might mean that something else in your schedule has to get bumped out. Here's my point. This takes time. And if we're going to prioritize this as something that God wants from us, then we have to make time for to make this a part of my life. And then when we're with people, then God's words are going to have to be weaving themselves in and out of our lives. Right? It's not just enough to be with someone and to talk about whatever our hobby is that we're participating in together, or to talk about a common area of interest. If we're going to be passing on doctrine to someone else, if we're going to be saying, follow my doctrine as I follow Christ, then God's word should be showing up in and out of our conversations. This first point is so important. Discipling someone else involves telling them to follow your doctrine as you follow Christ. And if you want to grow in your doctrine, let me encourage you to look at someone who is growing in Christ, in God's words, and follow them as they follow Christ. But Paul goes on to list another way that Timothy followed him, that he followed the model of Paul's life. And that second way is this. He said, follow my life, or Timothy followed my life. And we're going to say to others, follow my life as I follow Christ. He said this, you have followed my conduct. And then in verse 11, he says, you followed my persecutions and my sufferings. You know, I think one of the most important questions that any disciple of Jesus is going to ask in his life is, how does God want me to live? What should I be doing with my life? How should I be living? And so modeling, part of modeling what it means to be a follower of Jesus is going to say, hey, come, look at my life. Look at what I'm spending my time doing. Look at what I'm prioritizing in my life. Timothy, you followed my conduct. Let me again make a couple points of application from the text in this area. First, the life of a disciple of Jesus that we should be modeling is not a life that pursues comfort and ease in this life. Notice that the life that Paul modeled for Timothy was filled with persecutions and sufferings. Yeah, but we might say, but that was Paul. We live in a different day now. Well, notice something that Paul says in verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Our lives as disciples of Jesus should not be centered on creating comfortable lifestyles so that we can avoid all potential difficulties. When someone is following our life as a disciple of Jesus, they should be following someone who is living on mission, no matter the cost. Someone who's willing to take risks for the sake of the gospel. There is a cost to be considered in following Jesus. There's a cross to be taken up. Growing up, when I heard about taking risks, whenever I would hear that phrase, I would often think that it meant kind of dropping whatever you're doing, selling everything you have, and moving to another country to do some kind of foreign missions work. Like that was risk. And that is taking risk. But I don't think that's the only kind of risks that can be taken. And I think that we too, as believers right here, can take risks for the sake of the gospel in our neighborhoods and communities. And we might call them smaller risks, but risks nonetheless. For example, you can risk being rejected by reaching out to your neighbors in an attempt to build a friendship with them around which to share the gospel. You can take a risk by speaking the words of the gospel to someone you know, knowing that they might reject you or make fun of you, or it might be awkward from that point on. You can take a risk by taking a job that pays less in order to have more time to invest in the church and invest in God's mission on your life. You could take a risk by making choices with integrity at your job that could get you fired, but that would help your gospel words take on much greater significance. Older generation, you can take a risk by spending the final 25% of your life serving God and others with your extra time rather than searching for an elusive joy in a self-focused retirement. Or maybe God is leading you to take a bold risk, a leap of faith, and go somewhere and proclaim his name where it's never been known. And really, any time we take a risk, there's the possibility that we could be mistreated or misunderstood, or even that we could suffer or be persecuted in some way. But we should expect that to happen. We should expect that to be a part of our lives, right? Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Peter actually says something very similar to this in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Isn't that interesting? Don't be surprised. Don't think that it's strange that something difficult has come into your life. As a believer, if you're following God, don't be surprised at that. Expect that. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So modeling a life of following Jesus involves living on mission and bringing along other people to participate in that mission and taking risks that could lead to rejection and mistreatment. And secondly, on this point, I once again want to emphasize that if you are going to live in this way, if you're going to be saying, follow my life as I follow Christ, if people are going to be following your conduct, then they're going to have to be around you enough to see your life. They're going to have to be around you in your normal course of life. They're going to have to be at your home. They're going to have to be with you in the evenings. They're going to have to be with you when you're making tough decisions about what to prioritize in your life and what's going to be cut out of your life so that you can follow God with your life. It takes time to live this way, time with people. So spend time with people that you are seeking to disciple. They'll begin to understand your doctrine. They'll begin to see your conduct. And there's a third way in which Paul says that Timothy has followed us that gives us a model on how we should encourage other people to follow us. And that is by us saying to others that we're discipling, follow my character as I follow Christ. Look at what he says. He says, you have followed my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. All of these things that Paul names point to what I'm calling Paul's character. And it gives us a third way to model what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. Paul says that Timothy has followed Paul's heart, his character. It's not just enough to have good doctrine, right? Because there's a lot of people who say the right things and say they believe the right things, but live in a totally different way. It's not enough just to do good things, because there's even people that do good things for the wrong reason. And so Paul says that Timothy has followed his heart. He has seen that Paul's life is genuine in how he is living. As before, let me just observe a couple applications. First of all, character is important because it's what enables you to endure when the sufferings, the trials, the persecutions come into your life. What does someone who lacks character do when difficulty comes? They fall away. But look at how Paul describes how he responded to his persecutions and sufferings in the middle of verse 11. He says, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Paul endured. He was steadfast. He had faith through them. And God rescued him from them. Now, just because he says that God rescued him from them does not mean that they weren't difficult. For example, at Lystra, one of the ones he mentioned here, Paul was stoned and left for dead, right? It's not as if this was not that much of a trial just because God rescued him from it. No, these are really difficult times, but God brought him through them with a sustained faith. And he encourages Timothy in the same way. After saying that all who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, he goes on to say to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Timothy, I endured as I experienced difficulties in my life. Timothy, you endure. Prove your character that you are a true follower of Christ. When I was persecuted, I endured. When you are persecuted, you endure. Follow my character as I follow Christ. Now, why is this so important for us to model for our children or for others in our lives that we're seeking to reach out to and bring along with us in the faith? Because when we endure and when we remain steadfast in our faith, even when difficulties come, it demonstrates and it shows to those around us that the most important thing in all of the world to us is our relationship with God. It's when we experience difficulties that we can demonstrate to others that Jesus is far more satisfying to anything in this life, including our life. So follow my character as I follow Christ, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my steadfastness. And then secondly, I again want to encourage you that if you are going to live this kind of life, if you're going to be bringing people along, and if they are going to know and see your character, then you're going to have to spend time with them. It takes time to know someone's character. It takes watching them experience a difficulty in their life and walking through it with them and seeing their faith tried and seeing them come through the other side with a sustained faith. That's what it takes. That's the kind of time it takes to see someone's character and to follow their character as they follow Christ. So follow my doctrine. Follow my life. Follow my character as I follow Christ. Let me just give a few quick applications as we close. Thinking, what does God want from us? What does he want from us in hearing this text that he gave us in his word? How does he want us to live and respond to this? Well, first of all, let me ask you this question. Who has invested in you in any of these ways? Who's taken the time to bring you along in the area of doctrine or in the area of how a faithful believer lives, or in the area of their proven character? Who has spent time with you to help you grow in these ways? Well, let me encourage you to go to them and thank them. Maybe write them a letter this week, or send them a text message, or call them on the phone and thank them for doing that. And then think about, what did they do? What did they do that encouraged me in my doctrine, in following Christ? What did they do that encouraged me and showed me how to live as a faithful follower of Jesus? And try to figure out a way to do that same thing with someone else. See, living like this is both easy and hard. In a sense, discipling someone else doesn't have to be super difficult or complicated. You don't have to know how to preach in order to do this. You just have to be able to spend time with someone and talk to them about your relationship with God and pray with them or read scripture with them or evangelize with them. It doesn't have to be complicated. But on the other hand, it's difficult because I think it's somewhat new for some of us. And it's difficult, again, because it takes time. And it takes making tough decisions about maybe cutting some other things out of our lives that may not be bad, but that would be just less important than this, so that we can prioritize taking the time to live this way. So what's the next step that God wants you to take to obey Him in this area? Parents, you might need to start finding regular time to read the Bible and pray with your kids, even if it's just 5 to 10 minutes a couple days a week. Older generation, you might need to ask someone in their 20s and 30s if they want to start praying with you, maybe once a week, so that you can disciple them in the area of prayer. Younger generation, you might need to invite someone who's older than you over for a meal so you can hear their story of faith and begin to develop a relationship with someone who you can follow as they are following Christ. What is your next step? It might be inviting an unbelieving neighbor to read a book of the Bible together. My guess is that that would seem very risky for some of you to do. It might be inviting someone over to watch sports with you rather than watching it alone so that God can grow a discipling relationship among you. There are so many small steps that can be taken. What does God want you to do? What's the next step that you can do to encourage someone else to follow you in the area of your doctrine, your life, your character? Or what's the next step that you can take in order to pursue someone who you can follow as they follow Christ? Here's what I want to do for the next. We're just going to take a short 4-minute time frame to do this. I want you to turn to the people next to you, and I want us to ask each other 2 questions. First of all, because this idea is somewhat new to us, many of us, I want us to ask this question. Does anything make you nervous or uncomfortable about the idea of discipling someone else? As we're talking about prioritizing time in our schedule to spend with someone to talk about God and His Word, what seems difficult to you about that? Or what makes you a little bit nervous about that? So ask each other that question, and maybe you could encourage each other in that. And then ask each other this question: what is one step you should take this week toward the goal of discipling someone else? So in just a minute, get with others around you, maybe groups of 3, 4, 5 people, and talk about these 2 questions. And then in 4 minutes, James Gass is going to come up, and he's going to lead us in prayer to close out our time and ask that God will help us to be models in the area of our doctrine, our life, and our character as a congregation, so that we can be living as disciples in the way that God wants us to be.